Well, hey, happy Sunday, Northwoods Online. My name's Hope. I'm the online and social media pastor here at Northwoods, and I am so glad that you've joined us today. You know, for those of you who have been joining us on the 21-day fast, we are to the end. So I just want to say congrats. If you have walked the full 21 days or any portion of this fast with us over the last few weeks, it's been a really great way to start off the year. And if you have any stories of breakthrough or how God has been working in your life through this fast, I would love for you to share those in the chat with all of us this morning. And you know, I just hope that you are ready to get this year kicked off. It has been a blessed way to start the year. We believe we're going to have a blessed year, and we are wrapping up that blessed year series this morning, which means that next weekend is baptism weekend. And I'm so excited. Baptism is always a major celebration here at Northwoods. You know, it is the next step for anyone who has proclaimed their faith in Jesus Christ and is ready to publicly declare that decision. So if you are interested in being baptized, I invite you to come to one of our campuses in Canton, Chillicothe, or here in Peoria next weekend. Or if you have questions about getting baptized, maybe you're not close to one of our campuses and you still want to make that declaration, go ahead and email me at my email on the screen or ask in the chat, and I would love to get you some more information about that. But be ready, be here for baptism weekend next Sunday. Well, before we get into service, we got to go through all the regular things to make sure that you are all set for our service this morning. And the first thing I want to do is just welcome anyone who's new here at Northwoods. If this is your first time, I invite you to take out your phone and text new to the number on your screen. That's going to put you right in communication with me. I would love to get to know you and see if there's any way that I can help you get more connected here at Northwoods. For those of you who have been around a while, you also pull out your phone, get the Northwoods app, and fill out the connection card. When you fill that out, you can select to get more information about baptism weekend and some of the other things that are coming up here at Northwoods. And of course, we'd always just love to know that you're here, who you're watching with, and if there's any way that we can be praying with you. Speaking of prayer, if you have any prayer requests that you would love prayer for right in this moment, our team is standing by and would love to pray for you. Join us on northwoods.online and click that request prayer button. And last but not least, I said it earlier, join the chat. Let us know if God has answered any prayers in your life or just how you're doing, where you're watching from, what the weather's like, whatever you want. It's great, and we would just love to say hi to you and get to know you this weekend. So we're ready to hand it off to the worship team. Let's get ready. Northwoods Online starts right now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Northwoods. Are you ready to worship our King, Jesus Christ? Come on, let's go. You are worthy, Lord. Hunger, roaring, longing, the bread of life sustains. God on our side. He's promised us to be with us. He's for us. He's not against us. Let's put our faith and our trust in Him. I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God. But still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word.
Yes.
Enough to seek your kingdom first. Beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean.
That
Together as one and lift our voices to you, Lord, as a gift. Lord, thank you that you have redeemed us, not by anything that we've done, but Lord, only by what you have done, that you shed your blood and you broke your body and you came back so that we could have a place with you in heaven. And God, we thank you so much for that. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be here today, Lord, that you would move in our hearts, Lord, that you would open our eyes, that we would hear your word, Lord, that it would move us to new levels. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Janine, and we're so glad you're here with us today. If this is your first time joining us at Northwoods, we would love to get to know you a little bit better. And the best way to do that is if you will text the word new to the number right there on your screen, and someone will reach out to you this week. Now, we promise we're not going to stalk you, and we won't make it weird. We just want to be able to answer any questions you may have and be able to get you connected around here. Now, for everyone else, we love connecting with you too. You're not left out. So whether you've been here for a week or you've been here for years, take a moment to fill out the connection card in the Northwoods mobile app. Now, while you're there, you're going to see a couple of new next step things at the top of that page. They're next step opportunities that I want to tell you about this morning. The first one on there is baptisms. If you said yes to Jesus, whether it was years ago and you just never got baptized, or maybe it was last month at the Christmas production, we want to celebrate that with you. Baptism is your next step in your faith journey with Jesus, and it's what he calls us to do. He tells us to get baptized after we've made that decision and crossed that line. Baptism is the public declaration of your faith in Jesus. Well, we have our first baptism of 2022 coming next Sunday, so you need to get signed up if you have been thinking about it at all. You can go to northwoods.church/baptism and learn more about it and get pre-registered. Now, once you get pre-registered, invite everyone you know, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, to come and witness your public declaration to your faith in Jesus. Now, the second thing that you may have seen on there is our support groups. You know, we all have hard times in our lives, and unfortunately, not one of us is exempt from those. But they look a little bit different in each of our lives. And we understand that those are hard things to go through, and we don't want you to have to go through that alone. So if you find yourself in a challenging season right now, we'd love to have you check out our support groups. If you're divorced or maybe in the midst of a divorce, then Divorce Care and Divorce Care for Kids is a great place where you can find help for both you and your kids in your healing process. And let's face it, losing a loved one is devastating. And in Grief Share, you will meet a group of people who can help you through the challenges of your loss and how to move toward rebuilding your life. Now, single parenting has its own unique challenges, and we understand that it's difficult. So you can find the support and the tools you need in our singles and parenting support group. Maybe you have an addiction, something that is life-controlling and you just can't seem to shake. In Regen, you can find healing, recovery, and freedom from those addictions. And then finally, if you desire to have sexual purity and integrity in your life and you just don't know how to get there, check out our purity support groups, where you can find freedom from those unwanted sexual behaviors that may be controlling your life. All of these support groups are for everyone, and we could all use them at one time or another in our lives. And we're kicking off a whole new semester next month. So go to northwoods.church/support groups and find out all about them and get registered. They really are life-changing. Well, it's your generous and faithful giving that fuels these life-changing ministries. And there's no way we could do it without you. So thank you for your support in every way. If you've come this morning to give cash or a check, you can do that by dropping it in any of our drop boxes located around the building. You can also give online through our mobile app or by texting the word give to the number on your screen. And thanks again for everything you do. And anything, if you have questions about anything I shared today, you can always go to our mobile app or our website. Those are great resources for you. Well, that's all I have to share with you today. So let's see what Pastor Cal has to share today.
Thank you.
Okay, Northwoods, how's everybody today? Good to see you. If you're wondering how I'm doing, I can only say I'm glad my hope is not in a football team. Some of you are happy for me. I said to a friend, if my hope was in a football team, I'd have to go find a bar somewhere. I'm glad I can lay down and sleep and be okay. But hey, we come to the end of our 21-day fast. I hope you've leaned into that, sensed the Lord's presence, that you're living with fresh expectation that this indeed is going to be a blessed year. In this series, we've been making our way through Psalm 119, and we learned over the last 3 weeks these secrets to a blessed year. Number one was to walk in obedience. Our second week, we looked at make God your portion. Last week, live with conviction. And today, secret number four is pursue God's power. I heard about a guy who saved up his money in order to take a 7-day Caribbean cruise. And never having been on one of those cruises before, not knowing what all he would need, he packed a bunch of crackers and snacks for the trip. About halfway through his time, he'd consumed everything he'd brought along, and he spent the next few days fasting, not because he wanted to, but he's going without food and watching all these other people just pull up to the tables on board that ship and pig out. He so wished his limited budget would allow him some of that good food, but he knew he couldn't afford it, so he went without. And when the trip was over, and as he was disembarking from the ship, one of the hosts asked him how he'd enjoyed the cruise. He said, it was great, except that he had wished he had brought along a few more snacks. He said, I'm pretty hungry after not having eaten the last 3 days. I ran out of food. The incredulous host wondered why he hadn't helped himself to all the delicious food on board the ship. He responded that his limited budget couldn't afford it. And it was then, only after the cruise was over, that he learned that all the food he could have ever dreamed of eating had actually been included in the price of admission. But he hadn't acted on his privilege because he didn't know it was his. And likewise, there are a lot of Christians who, while they're glad to be on board the ship, that is, they've received God's forgiveness and salvation, and they know they're going to heaven, but they don't yet understand all that was included in the price of admission. Consequently, they live far beneath their privilege because, see, you don't act on what you don't know you possess. And nowhere does that happen more often than in our faith journey with God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, look at this, tells us that his divine power has given us a few of the things. Whoops, I misread that, didn't I? Has given us some things. Has given us most things. Doesn't say that, does it? His divine power has given us what? Everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's talking about our present life right now here on planet Earth. And notice, it's through our knowledge of him. Now, guys, I can't act on what I don't know I possess. I often use my iPhone. I brought it along to highlight this. Some of you can run your business on this thing. Some of you can make Hollywood movies. Some of you can buy and sell cars. You do all kinds of things on this iPhone. I call people and send texts. I make use of about 5% of what this thing can actually do. Why? Because I don't know how to access all that it's capable of doing.
I can't act on what I don't know I possess. And possession without access is as good as no possession at all. Someone else could pick this up and make it do things I didn't know it could do, and I'd say, what? Its capacity was there all along. I just didn't know how to access it. And so it is with the power of God and what's available to us through that power. And it's through this last section of Psalm 119 that I want to highlight a few of the benefits that were included on your ticket when you boarded the cruise ship called Eternal Salvation. What is it that you can access that you need to know about? Let's read Psalm 119. Verses 169 to 176, you can follow along on the screen. It says, may my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me. For I've chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. Now, let's look at some great benefits in this section that we possess now, that we have access to, because they belong to us. But again, we can't access what we don't know we possess. I want to help you understand some of the benefits that were included in your salvation package, okay? Here's benefit number one. You have access to spiritual understanding. And most of these start there. Little more knowledge, little more understanding. I'm going to access a whole lot more of what this phone can do. All right? This is what the psalmist is pursuing, what he's praying for. Look what he says in verse 169. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. If you want to have a blessed year, take advantage of the access you have to spiritual understanding. You will never come into the greater resources available to you or access more of God's power and provision unless you grow in your understanding of God's character, God's nature, God's promises, God's word, God's will, and God's ways. This is what the Apostle Paul was praying for the Colossian church, and so it's ours to pray as well when he's praying for us. We own this prayer, we can pray it. Look at Colossians 1 and verse 9. In which he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, he hasn't even met these believers from Colossae yet, but he's heard about it. And he says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with what? Look at this. To fill you with a knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, I stop there for a moment and say, now, guys, why would Paul continue praying for spiritual wisdom and understanding if they already had everything they need? Listen, they possess it in Christ, but they've got to access it in order to possess it for themselves. See? So he's praying for that spiritual wisdom and understanding. If I don't know how to access that wisdom and understanding, I can live far beneath my privilege because I don't access what I don't know I possess. Some of you may remember the story I've told over the years about Sally, who was almost penniless when her husband Jeb died years before. His life insurance had paid off the mortgage, but that was about it. Now the house was deteriorating around her. The car had been junked long ago and she couldn't keep up with the repair and insurance bills. She got by on just a few dollars a week for groceries. And when the electric bill got too high, she resorted to living by Coleman stove and candlelight. She rarely left home. How could she when everything cost money? Coffee at the cafe cost $1, even with their senior citizen discount. Movies cost $5. A walk to the park required shoes, and Sally's only remaining pair were clinging together by a few bits of thread. So day after day, she sat at home by herself and creaked back and forth in her rocking chair. Often she thought, you know, life was supposed to be better than this. It started out so great, so full of promise, but now it's passed me by. And so she barely scraped by year after year, destitute, lonely, defeated, until one day an old acquaintance from across the country remembered her childhood friend and decided to look Sally up. Miriam was heartbroken when she saw Sally's living conditions. She decided to stay a few days to try and encourage her and to help straighten up the house. And in the course of her time there, Miriam made a startling discovery. Tucked away in a file drawer of Jeb's old roll-top desk was a folder labeled in caps, "For Sally." Kind of reminds me of believers who keep their Bible inside the roll-top desk and don't know that inside God has plenty of promises for Cal, for Mary, for put your name in there. Inside, Miriam found an old bank savings book. The last entry had been made 22 years earlier, just before Jeb had died. The bank book indicated a balance of $87,000, but that wasn't all. The folder also contained a yellow envelope sealed and inscribed with Jeb's handwriting, "To Sally, with love forever." So taking it to Sally, Miriam asked her, "Do you know what this is?" Sally searched her memory. She remembered the last days of her husband's life, the tender words that had passed between them as they realized the end was near. And then the memory hit her. In the grief and heartache of the days and months following Jeb's death, she had forgotten one of the things he had said. See, when you forget what's been said, you don't access what you possess. She had forgotten what he had said. Something about, "When I'm gone, a file for you in my desk. Important." Now as Miriam watched, Sally opened the envelope carefully. Inside was a single folded page and a key. Sally began to read, "My dearest love, my time with you draws short, but I want you to know that I have provided everything you will need." Sounds like a verse we might have just read. "Everything you will need once I am gone. Check the bank box. Check the bank book in this file. Then take the key to the bank with you. In loving remembrance of me, please enjoy life to the full. With love forever, Jeb." Sally and Miriam discovered that the key was to a safety deposit box at the bank, and as they lifted the metal lid, their eyes widened as they discovered several bundles of cash totaling $32,000, a pile of stock certificates, and three folders of rare coins. That afternoon, a stockbroker informed them that the stock certificates were worth $1.2 million on the current market. A rare coin dealer appraised the coin collection at $47,000. The bank calculated 22 years interest on the savings account, which brought its total from $87,000 to more than $265,000. All told, Sally was worth well over $1 million, and all the while she'd been living in misery and despair when more money than she would ever need had been available to her all along. And that's because we don't act on what we don't know we possess. And God is saying, "I want you to have the full riches of complete understanding of all I have provided for you. It's included on your ticket of salvation. It's a part of my provision for you right now while you live and serve me." Benefit number one: you have access to spiritual understanding. And the more you access that understanding, the more you'll be able to access what you already know you possess. Here's benefit number two: you have access to supernatural deliverance or protection. Psalmist knows this is included on his ticket, as he says in verse 170, may my supplication come before you, deliver me according to your promise. He knows God has promised him special protection and deliverance, and so he reminds him, Lord, you promised, right? Dad, you said, carries powerful weight if you've promised your kids something and then start reneging on it, right? Dad, you promised. And guys, we serve a God whom Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 tells us is a God who does not lie. When he says, I'll make good on this, he's going to keep his promise. This is the God who says about the one who trusts in him. Look at Psalm 91, verses 14 and 15. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him and protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Yes, this can mean protection and deliverance when I am in physical peril. Let me tell you guys, I don't know how long God has given me, but I can tell you this, until it is my time to go home, there is nothing here that can touch me or take me out. Do you understand? I live in that confidence. I live in that assurance. I still remember the time on the back roads of Iowa, heading home for Christmas on ice, 2 inches thick, lights come flying over the hill. I am head to head with a pickup truck on pure ice and no way to avoid a head-on collision. The words out of my mouth, I had enough time before I just closed my eyes and braced myself. I said, Jesus, help me. I don't know how to explain it other than that we were from here to that front row away. There's no way to avoid each other. And as I turned my wheel like this, he apparently turned his like that. And on that ice, we just did all I can call a synchronized slide by, and I went on my way. I have no idea other than the Lord sent his angel and said, not today. I told you how a year and a half ago on my study break, up on I-80, crossing that big bridge up by Joliet. I'm coming across there 60 miles an hour, hauling a fifth wheel. And a big truck up in front of me drops, it's hauling tires, drops a huge tire that comes bouncing across the road. Directly in front of me, I have enough time to say, Lord, help me. And I, again, close my eyes because that thing's coming through the front window. I have no idea today other than the Lord sent an angel, said, not today. Get that tire out of here. Never touched me. I have no idea how. Other than to say, I know that his divine deliverance is mine as long as I live and until the day he says now it's time to come home. Guys, this, listen, if I can help you with anything today, this is your divine access this year. Just remember, it's as close as your hand. Dear Jesus, help me now. And if you don't have time to say that, dear Jesus, help me. And if you don't have time to say that, dear Jesus, help. And if you don't have time to say that, dear Jesus. And if not that, Jesus. That is your ticket to access. He will be there to help you in your time of need. Not only does he want to protect and deliver you from physical harm until the day he ushers you home to heaven, but he also wants to deliver you from the schemes and the lies of the enemy and any change you may be settling for in your life. That's a special deliverance he's also promised. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus defined his job description in Luke 4:18 as, among other things, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. We're in prison by the chains of our own sin. So he comes to provide freedom for prisoners and to release the oppressed, where the enemy has gotten a hook in our soul and we're living with oppression in our lives. But you have to know that that's on the ticket, or you will settle for crackers when you could be enjoying the buffet. Because you don't access what you don't know you possess. I had a wonderful time in Denver last weekend at brave church and not only had a great time training them in some of our doing what Jesus did material that we use here, but due to a mishap on his bike earlier in the week, Jeff Schwarzentraub, the pastor there, had suffered a major concussion and had to be stitched up. He had a black eye, and all his neurologists were suggesting that he not preach that Sunday. So he called me in from the bullpen, and I preached the Sunday service for him. We had a great time. Following that 11 o'clock service, I prayed with a young lady, 26 years old. She was crying, and she says, the whole time you were talking, she says, it's like there's just something here. And she said, it makes me so angry. She said, I can't respond to the Lord like I want to. I knew what was going on. It's clear to me that she was struggling with some form of depression. And as I just quickly tried to get to the root of it, I had maybe 5 minutes there at the altar. I didn't have 2 hours to spend with her, but I had 5 minutes. She informed me that she struggles with self-hatred and depression. You would have looked at her and said, I mean, as beautiful as she can be. What? And I found that that had all started when she was 15 years old and someone had forced himself on her sexually. I led her through a prayer of forgiveness. I broke the soul ties from several encounters of sexual abuse in her life. Then I commanded that oppressive spirit to leave her in Jesus' name. And friend, it did. I'm telling you, she left there with tears, big smile on her face. Her dad was waiting for her. I said, this gal got some freedom today. And that oppressive weight was gone from her chest. Why? Because deliverance from torment and oppression is a part of our ticket. But see, many believers today just live with the oppression because you don't act on what you don't know is yours. Possession without access does you no good. But see, you have access to supernatural deliverance. You do not have to stay bound by your secret sins and addictive behaviors. You have access to spiritual understanding. You have access to supernatural protection and deliverance. Benefit number three, you have access to strategic help. Look at verse 173. It says, may your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your decrees. Where do you need his divine help today? It's on the ticket. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to what? To help us in our time of need. Literally, it means at just the right time. Guys, I've been doing a lot of reflecting lately as I face my impending transition out of the leadership role that I've occupied for over 37 years now, 32 of which have been here at Northwoods. And as I look back at some of the challenges I've faced, I can tell you that the only reason I'm still standing today is because a faithful God has helped me every step of the way. He's a God who delights to help his children. Your lack, your weakness is his opportunity. And so it has been with me. I can tell you, he has strengthened me over and over again in times of weakness. He has lifted me up when I was down. He has caused me to stand when I was ready to fall. He has empowered me to keep me going when I was ready to quit. I praise him for his strategic help. And you know, there's nothing worse than when you're traveling. You have assignments in front of you. You end up with food poisoning. Happened to me several times. I'll never forget the morning in Brazil when I'm supposed to speak to about 100 pastors for a time of training, and I'm as sick as I've ever been. It's about 4 a.m. I've been awakened with food poisoning from the meal I had the night before. I'm absolutely sick to my stomach. I'm nauseous. I'm dizzy. I'm feverish. I want nothing more than just stay in bed because I know this is not going to go well. And I'm talking to the Lord, what do you want me to do? I came all this way. And I'm sensing, get up and go, I'll help you. I can still remember, I'm smelling gasoline fumes from the trucks as we're passing through the traffic. And I'm like, Lord, I'm dying here. One way or another, you have to help me. We get to the church, they're eating breakfast, and the smell of food about does me in. I run to the bathroom to make sure I'm there if all decides to come up. And then the meeting starts. I'm sitting on the back row shaking. I'm 10 minutes away from when I'm supposed to speak. And I say, Lord, if you want me to speak today, you're gonna have to deliver me one way or another. Either heal me now or de-meal me now. And in the next moment, I'm in the corner of their narthex, losing my insides into a trash can. I pick up a smaller can, run up the steps to the pastor's office, wrenching the whole way. Finally, it's out, I'm good, and it's like I feel great. No fever, no headache, no dizziness, no weakness. I run some warm water over my face. I brush my hair. I grab a mint. I head back downstairs, and in 2 minutes, I'm on the stage where I teach for an hour and a half without skipping a beat, and you wouldn't have known what had just happened a few minutes before. And then that's over, and I traveled to some other churches that day. Now, I could tell I was a little more weak than normal when I returned to my room late that afternoon, and I was glad that I could go to bed early that night, and the next morning I was full strength. But I could tell you plenty of other stories where there was no human explanation for my being able to carry out an assignment for the Lord, except that his hand was ready to help me. Guys, it's a part of the ticket. Calling him for help. You have access to strategic help in times of need. And then benefit number four is this, you have access to sustaining power. Look at verse 175. It says, let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. Now look at this, guys, his power. I want you to understand something. His power isn't always given to help you escape trouble. Psalm 91, I will be with him in trouble. Well, Lord, if you're with me, why am I in trouble? See, we always think that his presence means shouldn't be any trouble. No, his power isn't always given to help you escape the trouble. Sometimes it's power to endure. Let endurance do its work, James says, so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You go to a weight room and somebody always lifts the weight off of you before you have to push it back up. Nothing's happening. You got to endure and push that thing before any muscle's going to grow, you see? Man, this is his endurance when you have to stay in a tough spot. He enables you to endure. Back to Paul's prayer in Colossians 1 and verse 11. He prays that we would be, look at this, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. He's just stacking up the power terms here. Look at this. So that you may have great endurance and patience. Darn, I thought he would say so that he would just deliver me from everything that demands endurance and patience. It's not what he says. No, you'll be strengthened with all power so that you can stand in spite of obstacles, in spite of hindrance, in spite of problems that aren't going to be instantly removed. He wants to give me great endurance and patience. Why? So that I will stay in faith and I will stand strong when the problem isn't immediately removed, so that I won't get offended at God and turn back just because I face trouble and I have to wait for his answer, so that I can bear up under suffering and keep standing in faith. Guys, his sustaining power can give you great endurance and patience when your health report isn't what you wanted. Oh, I know, we pray for people and we believe God for healing. And sometimes we get the great miracle, but you know, sometimes people just have to endure through it. That's the mystery. I don't know why God doesn't heal it every time. But some of you are right there now, and maybe you're discouraged because you've been trusting God. You've been believing him for your healing. It hasn't happened yet, and maybe you're disappointed and you're losing hope. Well, while you're waiting and praying and believing and hoping for a healing that hasn't come yet, here's what I know for sure. God wants to strengthen you with his mighty power so that you will have great endurance and patience to continue in faith and joy regardless. His sustaining power can give you great endurance and patience when you're waiting for God to turn your marriage around and it doesn't look like it's happening. You're discouraged because it seems your prayers have been answered and things actually seem worse than ever before, and you're wondering whether it does any good to pray. Well, I know this, however long it takes, God wants to strengthen you with his mighty power so that you'll have great endurance and patience to continue in faith and joy regardless. His sustaining power can give you great endurance and patience when you're faced with a financial setback or an unexpected job loss or demotion. Or your football team doesn't win. You're discouraged and it seems nothing is opening up. Money's tight. You've been calling out to God. Nothing has changed. And you're hearing the whispers of the enemy. And God's not going to come through for you. Friend, I tell you today, lift up your head and welcome his sustaining power to carry you. He will strengthen you with his mighty power so that you will have great endurance and patience to continue in faith and joy until the breakthrough comes. His sustaining power can give you great endurance and patience when it seems that your prayers and efforts for your friend or loved one who needs Christ is going nowhere. You've been praying for them for years, sharing your faith, inviting them to church, and it just seems, in spite of all your efforts, nothing is happening, and you're discouraged. Friend, while you're waiting, this I know, God wants to strengthen you with his sustaining power so that you will have great endurance and patience and you will stay in faith and joy, continuing to believe for the best regardless of how long it takes. I was really blessed just a week and a half ago by the story of a man named Lloyd, who just stayed in there with his friend Steve for many years, trying to share Christ with him, even though Steve was absolutely opposed, didn't want to hear it, rejected over and over. Never rejected Lloyd, but just don't talk to me about it. Steve recently passed away, and I was asked to do his funeral. And because he wasn't a religious guy, the family didn't want me to do a regular service, but still do something to honor his life and memory. They played a few of his favorite songs. It's the only funeral I've ever been where, rather than Amazing Grace or It Is Well or some of the great hymns of the church, we played songs from Fleetwood Mac, like Gold Dust Woman. That wasn't a part of my gospel music stash. Or do some of you remember Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs? Wooly Bully. That's how we closed. We laughed, we shared memories, but at the end, I'm grateful that I could share the best news with them. And that's that even while Steve was on his deathbed, Lloyd didn't give up on him. A few days before Steve died, Lloyd went to see him. And he said something like, "You know, Steve," after they'd talked for a while, he was getting ready to leave. He said, "You know, I'm not leaving here without asking you again whether you're ready to receive Christ." At which point, Steve raised his hand and said, "Nope." Right? Like, talk to the hand. Don't want to hear it before. Don't want to hear it now. Well, I'm grateful that Lloyd had unbelievable endurance and patience. When Steve was right up against the finish line a few days later, Lloyd went to see him. At this point, Steve wasn't verbally responsive. Eyes are closed. Who knows hours from death? But he knew Lloyd was there. Lloyd said, "Steve, if you can hear me, I want you to squeeze my hand. Squeeze." He said, "Steve, you're up against the finish line. I want to ask you again whether you're ready to receive Jesus. Would you squeeze my hand if you'd like to pray that prayer and invite Jesus into your heart? Squeeze." At which point he led him in a prayer of salvation so that Steve could invite Christ into his life to forgive him and save him. And at the end, Lloyd said, "Steve, if you prayed that prayer with me and you invited Christ into your life, squeeze my hand. Squeeze." I had the joy of sharing that at his funeral with his friends and family. I said, "Guys, you can see Steve again if you want to. You have to take the hand of Jesus Christ, squeeze it hard, and hang on to him. And he not only will guide you through this life, but he will see you safely to your heavenly home." And while I'm grateful that Lloyd had such tremendous endurance and patience in praying for and believing for his friend's salvation, I want to say to you today, if you're one who, like Steve, hasn't yet surrendered your heart to Jesus, don't wait until the finish line. Yes, I'm grateful that Jesus will save even the one who calls out to him at the last possible moment. While that's great, my question is, why go through life missing out on the benefits that could be yours now? Why not get in on his understanding, his deliverance, his help, his sustaining power now while you live? It's all a part of the salvation package when you surrender your life to Jesus and say, "I want to walk with you and I want to access everything that you have made available to me, both for time and for eternity." Friend, why live on crackers when a feast is available? Will you bow your head and your heart with me, everyone in this place today? And I felt as we finished this series, as we finished Psalm 119, there may be some believers in here today who have to say, "Oh God, I know I came to you for salvation and I'm glad I have my eternity taken care of, but I feel like I've stopped short. Will you help me to access everything that you have made possible for me even while I live? You have given me everything I need for life and godliness through my knowledge of him who called me by his own glory and goodness." If you're not a believer today, I want to just challenge you again, why not take God's hand and squeeze it today as a way of saying, "I want to walk with you and get in on all that you have made available to me." If that's you, pray this prayer with me right now. Just reach out by faith to him, just like Steve did on his deathbed, and say to him, "Lord Jesus Christ, I've been living without you in my life and I no longer want to do that. I believe you died on a cross to save me from my sin. And I believe you rose again to give me eternal life. And right now, today, I invite you to come into my life, to reign from this day forward on the throne of my life as my Lord." That is the director of my life, my Savior, the one who has set me free from not only the power of sin, but the penalty of sin, my renewer, my deliverer. Come into my life and lead me from this day forward. I take your hand today by faith, and I will follow you until the day I see you in heaven. Friend, if you prayed that right now, I want you to know God honored his promise. He always responds to that prayer of faith. If you prayed that, I want you to pick up a yes packet that we have available for you. You'll see yes packets out here on the tables when you leave. Pick one of these up. And you know, one of the greatest things you could do, maybe you don't understand or call somebody this week about what baptism means, but that's your way. Come next week and we'll have the shirts and the shorts and the towels. You don't have to worry about it. We'll have everything you need, but come and be baptized next week as your way of saying, I now belong to Jesus and I'm going to be marked out as one who belongs to him. That's really what baptism means. And there'll be others here to do that with you. You won't be standing alone. But please pick up a yes packet if you prayed that prayer. And those who prayed maybe with us online today, you can also access a yes packet from there. They'll help you to know how to do that. So again, I hope you'll come back next week for that great service. How about all of you ready to have a great week? Are you? You're ready to have a blessed year? Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. You're dismissed. Blessings, everybody. Go and you make access of everything that God has made available to you. Friend, if you were watching online today, we're so glad that you joined us. I pray that some of you even maybe turned your life to Christ. But if even if you're a believer, call out to him for what you need today. Don't settle for crackers when there's a feast available. God bless you. Hope you have a great week.
Well, what another awesome message from Pastor Cal this morning as we wrap up the Blessed Year series. You know, I love that we can always pursue God's power in our own lives. And I just want to remind you that next weekend is baptism weekend. So again, if you want to get baptized, be sure that you are here at Northwoods next weekend on any of our campuses, or go ahead and send me an email if you have any questions about baptism. And then looking ahead, this is a little crazy, looking ahead 2 Sundays from now, we are kicking off a brand new series called Hope for Your Home. And it's all about how we can have hope in our homes. And I know that's surprising, right? We named it exactly how it sounds. But in that series, we are going to talk about worry and what it's like to maybe worry over your kids or your future or your spouse or just what things are looking like. We're going to talk about anger and parenting and then what it looks like to have hope for churches around the world. So be sure that you join us for that series. It's a great one to be inviting people to. You know, I know there are a lot of people who are struggling with things like worry and anger and parenting. They're all very common things that we all deal with on a day-to-day basis. So think about who you can invite, send them the link to join online in February, or maybe even take that step and invite them into your home to watch with you and start a community there. So we hope that you have a really awesome week. I will see you back here next Sunday.